Hey, up next on Downtown, it's time to get on board the G&M Family Market phone line. Head on down to Boston and say hello to our friend Gary Tangway of Comcast Sportsnet New England. Mr. Tangway, good day, sir.
Hey, good day. Hopefully it'll be a good day, Rich. We're all on pins and needles. It is lottery day for the Celtics. We've been here before. I just hope the Celtics get the number one pick. We've had some bad luck here, so hopefully they'll come through for us.
Now, somebody, may have even been Felger, tweeted this last night, and I agreed with it completely. If you could get the number one pick and get to the Eastern Conference Finals, that may be the greatest non-championship season ever.
Oh, there's no question they're in a great position. Now, Felger did not tweet this because Felger's not on social media.
Oh, that's right, and he hates the Celtics.
One guy right now, without question, Felger's the media king of Boston. And you know what his favorite line is? Get off the internet. I don't know how you do it. I mean, he's just, he doesn't know whether it's Insta-tweet or Tweetagram or whatever it is. So it wasn't him. But you're right, Rich, because we were talking about the debate. Who's in a better situation right now, the Celtics or the Patriots? Mm. And obviously the Patriots, they have Brady, and then they have Garoppolo waiting in the wings. But the Celts, with Isaiah, if they go get Gordon Hayward as a free agent, you have Horford, and then if they get Fultz in the number one spot, and then you have Jaylen Brown, and I'm a huge Jaylen Brown fan. I was not crazy about the pick when Danny got him, but I think he's going to be really good. You know, you have a competitive team in the East, because we all know it's Cleveland and everybody else, and two top three picks with the Nets pick again next year.
Yeah.
So the Celtics are in a great position.
So, as far as this Eastern Conference series goes, is this really just gravy for the team now?
Well, I think so. You know, what I want to see is I want to see them be a pain in the ass to Cleveland, because I've been very critical of the Celtic team in that I have high standards. And the Celtics, as you know, are the Yankees. And if you grew up watching the Celtics, as I did, as you did, you know, it takes a lot to impress us. A team that is getting into the playoffs or a team that is just getting to the second round doesn't really do it for us. But the way I saw the Celtics play over the last three games, it was the first time in years that I've been excited about this team where Horford really played hard. I mean, Olynyk. They did a poll down here for Olynyk. You know, would you sleep with Kelly Olynyk now? It was like 2 out of 5 women said yes.
Was that so, with or without the man bun, though?
Oh, my God. He's a great guy. Not a good-looking guy here. Not that, you know, I can brag or anything. But anyways, you know, with the last three games, you know, game five, they played so hard. They contested every drive to the basket. Game six, I wasn't as down on him as people were. I thought, you know, Wall made a great shot. Isaiah made a couple of key shots. Yeah, they screwed up. You know, you have a lead by 5 with 1:35 to go, whatever. You get a win. But, you know, I said, okay, fine. I see progress. And then the way they played last night, you know, I'm optimistic about the core of the team, the attitude of the team. You know, they're tougher than I thought they were. So I'm optimistic. It really comes down to, you know, what is the attitude of the team? What is the aura of the team? And if they can keep that, what we've seen over the last 3 days, the future looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Does the home court make a big difference at this point in the season?
Well, not to Cleveland, but in the NBA it does, and it drives me crazy. You know, it just, it's impossible. I just don't understand. I guess the big thing is the bench. You know, they say the bench and rookies playing on the road, they're more comfortable playing at home. The difference in this series was the home team's bench always played better, and the Celtics had the advantage. You know, I think, quite frankly, the reason the road is so dangerous during the regular season is because the season's so long, and quite frankly, socially, I think a lot of players go out, and they have different girlfriends on the road, and they go out, and they have a good time, and, you know, they're young, and they have a lot of money, and I just don't think they get their rest on the road. I really think that's it.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it. You know, I've been with a team like in Chicago where you pull into the Ritz at 3 a.m. and you see when the bus pulls in, you know, there's 5 stretch limos at the hotel. They're not from me. You know? And then you see the guys go, we'll be in by breakfast, you know, and then they go out and play the next day. I mean, so I think that's the big problem with the road, but I just hope they're a pain in the ass to Cleveland.
Yeah,
you know, just make it difficult on them, you know, annoy them, make them earn it. That's what I hope.
We're talking to Gary Tanguay here on Downtown. Red Sox is struggling, mediocre at best, 19-18, lackluster, uninspired. You picked the term. It's all John Farrell's fault, right?
Kill the manager. I have no feel for this team, which isn't good.
No.
I do think that it comes down to John ultimately, because I think that a manager's job is to create an atmosphere. I thought Francona was really good at that for a long time. I mean, Terry was really good at that. And eventually, you know, it wore out and he had to move on. I don't have a feel for what John does or, you know, his relationship with players. I mean, Terry could really be real with players. I mean, he protected players. He didn't play political games, which in the end kind of hurt him. And, you know, he was just a real genuine person. I mean, like, he was just really authentic. You know, like in Shaughnessy's book, you know, Francona would be in his bathroom in his office conducting an interview. You know,
yeah.
He'd have, like, the door cracked over. Yeah, go ahead, ask me anything you want, you know. And you can't fool players, and I just don't know if Farrell's authentic, you know. There's something missing because they're too damn good to have this record, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there are times when you see some life and then other times where, and look, I'm just watching on TV, but it sure looks like they're going through the motions.
I think you're right. They probably need a fire lit under their ass. I think that's fair, and it's really a shame because Sale is awesome. Oh my God,
he's great.
Awesome.
And if they can get Price back in a division that's filled with teams that have weaknesses, they can still be a playoff team, no doubt about it.
Oh, there's plenty of time, Rich. I mean, there's plenty of time, but, you know, maybe there needs to be a change at the top. I don't know if they'll do it, but if I'm John Henry, I don't like what I see.
Not for the money you're spending, God, no.
No way. I mean, you know, and you know, Kimbrough's been pitching great. Sale's pitching great. I mean, Porcello's had one bad start. Erod's okay. And, I mean, everybody talks about third base, but, I mean, there's enough talent on this team. I mean, there's enough talent on this team, to me, without Price, to be a playoff contender. You know, if you got Price back and you have three starters like that, Sale, Price, and the reigning Cy Young champ, I mean, you better get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and a pretty solid Eduardo Rodriguez lately, too.
I've always felt he would be good if he was healthy. You know, he's just going to be healthy, and I always thought he'd be good. But you're right, Rich. They're a dead-ass team. Somebody's going to light a fire.
Hey, I got to tell you, I really, like, I don't get to see it every night, but I really like the dynamic you guys have in the early edition.
Well, yeah, Trenny's great. You know, we're on for 2 hours, and somebody came up to me the other day and said, you know, you guys get a little repetitive. And I said, you actually watch the whole 2 hours? And I said, do you have anything to do? And he said, well, no, I'm retired. And I go, well, that explains it.
There you go, right there.
You know, the format of, like, the 6 to 8 show and, like, the 9 to midnight show is, like, you know, we expect the audience to change over. I mean, it's like a radio philosophy. So, you know, Fowler comes in at 7, and I've known Mike forever. I mean, I knew him when he was nobody. We just have a really good time. You know, we don't have any scripts. We just, you know, we have a rundown, like, this is what we're going to talk about, and we just talk, and we just have a really good time. And, you know, Trenny, she knows what's going on, so it's a good time.
Yeah, now, I don't know who's doing your promos, but those are terrific, too.
You mean the little, the vignette type
thing? Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, Tori Champagne does a really good job. You know, we have a couple of guys that are a little wacky, that are sit in front of a computer all day and come up with stuff, so.
And your old buddy Gresh, I saw his tweet last night, and I went, yes, that's brilliant. We need to see you as the next Colonel Sanders, I think.
Oh, I laughed my ass off when I heard that. Yeah, you know, I haven't heard from him, like, for, like, a month, and then I hear that, and I go, yeah. Wait, I'd like that gig, man. Everybody and their mother's been the colonel.
Absolutely. It's got to be your turn soon, right?
One can only hope, man.
Gary Tangway, Comcast SportsNet. Check him out tonight on the early edition, 6 p.m. on Comcast. Gary, thanks as always, brother.
Richie, we'll see you, buddy.